I was in my boat fishing one day with my brother Andrew. And we looked and we saw a man walking on the shores of Galilee. And he called out to us. And he said, "Follow me." And I don't know what came over me, but I jumped out of the boat and I followed him, and so did my brother Andrew. I had mixed emotions in my mind. As to why I got out of the boat and left my nets in the sea. And as we walked, we saw James and John and their father Zebedee in their boat. And this man that we were following called to them. And he said, "Follow me." And James and John jumped out of the boat. And they forsook their nets too. And as we walked, we all wondered what we were doing there. We had no idea. And we wondered at what power and with what authority this man had. Other people had gotten tried to ask us to do things before, and we made decisions whether to or not, but this man, when he spoke with authority, and he compelled us to walk with him. And we walked to my mother's house in Capernaum, and she was sick. She was laying down on the bed with a fever. And the man that had the authority in his voice walked up and took her by the hand, and immediately the fever left her. And she got up and started cooking for us. And then we walked out and we left the house and we went on down the road. And Jesus said that I must go and preach the gospel in amongst the cities round about. And we walked with him and we still had no idea with what power this man came, but we were compelled by something inside of us to walk with him. I mean, he healed my mother in so much that I was amazed at the fever, how it just went away and vanished. And as we walked, he talked to people and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he preached in the cities round about, and then and we heard him teach some wonderful things about how we ought to live and how we ought to treat one another. And he came, and even the scribes and the Pharisees that were there in our city, who I knew them. because I'm Jewish and I very much enjoyed the worship of God. But this man, when he spake, he didn't speak like one of them. He taught us in ways that I'd never heard taught before. He taught with authority that I've never heard anybody teach before. Never heard the scribes and the Pharisees preach the way that this man preaches. Amen. And after he taught them the multitudes, he healed some sick folks and some people that had palsy. The first time that I saw him heal was when he healed my mama, and that was a fever, but he healed people that were blind. And he healed people that were deaf. I saw him spit on a man's face and rub dirt in it, and the man could see. I saw him walk into a man and touch a man with leprosy. And before, you know, the lepers that are all in our midst, they had to live by themselves and whenever they walked, they had to say, unclean, unclean. And they walked away from everybody else because that thing that they have is so contagious that if anybody touches them, then they'll get leprosy. But I saw this man walk up to the leper and touch him and heal him just like that. Oh, what power. What authority does this man have? And I walked back. He said, let us return to Capernaum. And so we walked back to my mother's house after he had taught in the cities. And even the scribes and the Pharisees were intrigued by this man, at the wonderful works that he did. And the people that were round about, his fame was blazed abroad and people started to follow him because they recognized that he was merciful. They recognized that this man was not like other men. He was not like other prophets. He could make you whole again. And I began to see, little by little, that this man was not like other men. That this man was not only a prophet of God, but there was something special about him. And we walked back to my mother's house. And there were so many people following us that they came into the house when they found out he was there, and they began to press into the house so that there was not even room to stand in there anymore. And people gathered around my mother's house outside, and they opened up the windows and they were trying to climb in the windows and they tried to see this man Jesus who I followed. And then he healed some people there, and there was one man that was so sick and the house was so full that he had four friends and they brought him to the Lord, but they couldn't get in, so they climbed up on the rooftop and they tore up my mama's roof and they let him down through the roof. And you know what Jesus did? He said, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now wait a minute. Them scribes that were there and the Pharisees, they began to reason in their hearts saying, who is this man that can forgive sins also? He's a blasphemer. And Jesus said, why do you reason in your hearts? But that you might know that the Son of Man has power on this earth to forgive sins also. He said, which is easier? To say unto thee that your sins are forgiven thee, or that you take up thy bed and walk? And he said, I got power to do both. And he said, take up your bed and walk. And he said, and that man walked and took up his bed and walked and began to blaze abroad the matter. And I stood there in awe and wonder. I knew that this man could heal people. I had seen it with my own eyes. But this man says that he can forgive sins also. That made the Pharisees mad. And it put me in a precarious position. Because I'm steeped in this tradition, you see. I understand that Israel is God's people, and I have been steeped in the tradition of the fathers from my youth, and I'm in a whirlwind here. I don't know what's happening to me. And little by little, the Lord teaches us in ways that are easy to understand and yet very difficult for us because it's different. Every time the Pharisees come and talk to the Lord, He uses the scriptures that they say they know so much about, and He uses the very scriptures to make them angry. Because they weren't doing it the way that God said do it. I was there with him after we left. We walked out and these multitudes began to follow us. Because they recognized him as a great prophet of God. And it began to be late one night, and we were in a wilderness place, and the people were hungry, and the Lord looked and had compassion on them, and we told him, just send them away. We told the Lord, just send them away so that they can go into their houses and eat their own bread because we don't have enough to feed them. And the Lord said, what do you have? And we told him, Lord, all we've got is 5 loaves and a few fishes. And he said, tell them to sit down. So he commanded us to set them down in companies, and we did. And we didn't know what he was going to do, but the Lord, he told us, he blessed that fish and that meat and that bread, and he gave it to us and told us to give it out to the people. And we had each one of us a basket, and we knew that it wasn't going to last past a few people. But every time we reached into the basket, it never got empty. And when we were finished, we had more than we started with. What kind of man is this? We were amazed. And Jesus told us to get into the ship. And he stayed back and went up into a mountain by himself, and he prayed. And he told us he'd meet us on the other side. And we got into the ship and set out across the Sea of Galilee. When we got to the sea, in the middle, after we had cast out, there became a bad storm came up. And you know, we live our lives on the Sea of Galilee because we're all fishermen. But this storm was so bad that we feared for our very lives. And then we saw a spirit. We saw this man with whom we have to do. We saw this man that we've been following around, and he was walking on the water, and we thought it was a spirit. And we thought we were going to die. Waves coming over the ship. Wind blowing. The ship's being tossed. And us as hardened men of the sea were afraid of death at her hand. And we saw this man and he said, "Be not afraid. It is I." And I looked at him and I knew that he was a powerful God. And I said, "Lord, if it's really you, call me on out and see. If it's really you, call me out unto you." And he said, "Come on out here, Peter." And I walked down on the water and I saw him and I was walking towards him because something about that man drew me to him. And I could, and as long as I looked at his face, I could see. And it was like there was nobody on earth except for he and I. And then I began to be scared. And all this happened in a matter of a second. And I started to see the waves and the wind about me. And I began to be afraid. And I began to sink. And I said, and I cried out, "Lord, save me." And he reached down and he picked me up. I'm very well acquainted with the sea. And I understand. And I can swim real well. But I knew that I was dead were it not for he saving me. And then we got to the other side and the multitudes followed us again and we began to be hungry and we plucked some corn. And the Pharisees came down and they said, "Why do your disciples pluck corn? Why do they do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus looked at him and again he took the scriptures and said, Have you not ever read what David did when he was a hunger? How that he ate the showbread when he had need. I tell you what, I have never before in my life seen someone with the authority that this man does. Who is he that he can speak to the religious people like that? Doesn't he know that they're over the synagogue? Doesn't he know that they'll put him out? Doesn't he know that that they can't do that? He can't talk to them like that. That's the high priest. He's got some guts about him. I'll tell you that. He knows. But they can't say anything against him. Every time he goes up against them, he takes the scripture and proves his point. And the multitudes found us again. And again, they were hungry. And we looked and said, "Lord, we don't have enough food to feed these 7,000 people that are with us." He said, "Oh ye of little faith." He said, "How much do you have?" He said, "Just a few fishes and loaves." And he said, "Tell them to sit down." And I don't know why we couldn't figure it out. He had already fed 5,000. And then here comes four more. Certainly. We're so dumb. We can't remember. Surely he did it once. He's able to do it again. If he commanded us to do it, I don't know why we didn't just believe him. He's protected us once. He fed us once. He can do it again.
Then he told us to get in the ship again. And we saw him. He was down in the bottom of the ship asleep. And a big storm came up, and this one was bad as or worse than the first one. And he was sleeping in the bottom of the ship. And we're about to die. And so we woke him up and said, "Lord, we perish." And in the midst of the rain and the waves coming over, and he looks at us and he says, "Oh ye of little faith." He's already protected us once. I don't know why we didn't believe him again. He said, "Do you not remember the loaves and the fishes?" And he said, "Peace, be still." And we wondered again, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this man?" Little by little, miracle by miracle, we began to see and believe that this isn't just one time charlatan's trick. He's not a magician. He can command the wind. He's got power over the physical elements of the world. Not only that, he can speak, and we've seen him heal people just at his word when they weren't even there. He didn't even have to touch the nobleman's son. All he said was, "Go thy way. According to thy faith, may he be made whole." And not only that, we saw him when he was back at Capernaum, at Cana, we saw him and he turned water into wine. That's an amazing thing. He's got power over the elements of the world. He heals people just by the sound of his voice. And he forgives sins. What manner of man is this? You know, I don't know why, but he seemed to favor Peter, me, and James and John for some reason. Maybe it's because we needed more teaching than the others did. I don't know why. He took us one time after these multitudes, and this man caused an uproar in Jerusalem, Galilee, Cana, Capernaum, Tyre, Sidon. All those people that were healed with him, healed from him, by him, they followed him and they were with us almost all the time. And then he was with us after one of those times when the multitudes were there. He asked us a question. He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Who do men say that I am, Peter? And they all began to say, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Because there was a lot of talk going around the multitudes as to who this man is. But Jesus looked at each one of us and asked us, "But whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And I stood up and I said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Nobody else has that kind of power. Nobody else has that kind of authority that you've got, Lord. You've got to be the Christ, the Anointed One of God. And then Jesus looked at me and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. The revelation that the Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, didn't come from man, he told me. He said that came from God. And then he told me something else. He told me, and he changed my name. My name wasn't Simon, son of Jonah anymore. He changed my name to Peter. And he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock will I build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He called me a little stone. And he said that he built his church on the foundation of the revelation of God that he was Christ. That amazed me. That I'm a part of something that God is doing. I'm following the Son of God. Then I start to process this in my mind, and I think maybe I'm doing all right. I'm following the Son of God. And then Jesus takes me and James and John up into a mountain. And I'm thinking, yeah, we're doing all right. Me and James and John, we're special. And we get up there in this mount, and Jesus Christ was transfigured before my very eyes. And his garments shone as bright, and his face shone as bright as the sun. And I said, because we were afraid and didn't know what to say, and I said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And then there appeared two men, Moses and Elijah. Oh. And they were talking with each other. And I knew who they were. I've never seen Moses and Elijah, but I knew it was them. How did that happen? Then I said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Lord, I tell you what we'll do. Here's what we need to do, Lord. We need to make a tabernacle, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And then all of a sudden, a cloud came thick and overshadowed us, and we couldn't even see. And out of that cloud came a voice. And the voice said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. And then the cloud left. Moses and Elijah were gone, and it was only Jesus standing there. And as we walked down the mountain, Jesus said, Don't you tell anybody about this vision until after I'm risen again. Risen again? What do you you mean, risen again? That's the first time we'd heard him talk about that. And then he began to teach us little by little how that he had to be, how he had to suffer at the hand of men and be put to death by the chief priests and the scribes. And I said, Lord, suffer it not to be. It'll never happen to you. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou lovest the things that be of men more than you love the things of God. And I knew that he knew my heart. We were up there on that mountain, and I knew that it would be me, that I was one of the chief ones among us, and I loved that. I loved that I was bigger than the other disciples that walked with him. The Lord always knows my heart. And he said, he told me that I loved the things of men more than I did the things of God. And he was right. But it didn't make me mad. It made me want to walk with him more and more. And then little by little, he began to teach us about him being the bread of life. Then he took us some more times and taught us more about him having to go away. And we were bothered by that. We didn't know what he meant about him going away and coming again. But he told us to let not our heart be troubled. He said, if I go away, I'll send a comforter to you. The Holy Spirit. Who's that? We don't know what the Holy Spirit is. And we go on down farther, and he heals so many more people, and he teaches the scribes and Pharisees so many things, and we're there listening to him and all of his teaching, and little by little we start to learn a little bit more about him, a little bit more about how we ought to live our lives. And every day things happen to us that just boggles my mind. One time we were walking down the road and he looked for some fruit on a fig tree, and he saw the fruit that it didn't have any on the fig tree, and he said, and he cursed it right there, and he said, from this day forth let no man find any more fruit on thee. And right then the tree just withered away. We were so surprised that when he told this one man, this rich young ruler that came, and he was a good man, and I know him. He was a good man. And he came to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to be saved? And I thought it was a real good question. And then Jesus told him that you do all these things, and he said, I've done all these things. And he said, one thing that you lack. He said, sell everything that you got and follow me. And give it to the poor. And we're all watching this, and we're watching the Lord and to see what he'll do. And the man went away sorry, and the Lord didn't chase after him. And we're all sitting there and saying, whew, Lord, that's hard stuff. That's hard stuff.
man couldn't be saved, how can any of us be saved? And he said, you can't. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I began to see in my mind that God works His will. I began to see that this man is special. That he's got teachings that nobody else has taught us before. Time drew near for the Passover. And he sent us into town to go find a place where we may eat the Passover. And he sent us, and we said, Lord, how are we going to know? How are we going to know where to go? And he said, if you find a man, or you'll find a man bearing a pitcher of water. A man bearing a pitcher of water, that's woman's work. Women do that. Men don't bear water. That's unordinary. That's never been seen among us, that a man would be bearing and doing a woman's work. And he told us to go and find a colt there that never a man sat on. Well, Lord, you don't want that colt. If a man had never sat on him before, then he's going to be wild as a buck. But at his word, we went and got that. We did. We saw a man bearing a pitcher of water, which was very unordinary. But it happened just like the Lord said it would. And there was a colt right there. And we got the colt. And the Lord sat on that colt. We all expected that thing to buck him right off, but it didn't. It was just as gentle as a lamb. And we saw the Lord as He rode in, and all the people, when He was coming into Jerusalem, cried out to Him saying, Hosanna, glory be to God in the highest. And all them chief priests, all the scribes, and all of them were there, and they told Jesus to make the people be quiet. And stop calling you the Son of God. Stop calling you the Son of David. And I watched Jesus look at them in the eyes, and He told them, He said, if I told these to hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out in praise to me. What manner of man is this? How brash is he in the face of all of that opposition? As we came on into town, we went and found a place to eat the Passover, a large upper room. There at the Passover, I was there with all of my disciple friends, the people that we've been walking with for 3 years. And the Lord said, there's one of you at this table that's going to betray me. And I asked the Lord if it was me. We all did. And I was relieved to find out that it wasn't me, it was Judas. Then after that, the Lord said, He started, the Lord of glory bowed down and was going to wash my feet. And I said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And He said, if I wash thee not, then you have no part with me.
And I said, Lord, don't wash my feet, but my hands and my head up too. Lord, I want you to wash every part of me. Because I want to be with you. I love you. I want every part with you. I don't want any part of my life to be gone. And then the Lord said, all of you shall be offended of me this night. And I said, Lord, I'll die for you. Yet all these others might be offended at you. All John and James and Thaddeus and all of them, Mark, all of them might be offended at you. But me, I'll never be offended at you. And the Lord looked at me and said, boy, by the night's over, you're going to deny me three times. And we went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told us to pray with him. And he was so distraught, I don't know why. And he went a little ways farther and he knelt down and he started praying. And I guess we started to pray, but our eyes got so heavy and we fell asleep. And he came back and woke us up and he said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? And we tried again and we got so heavy and we fell asleep. And he came back and woke us up again and said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? And we fell asleep again. And then he said, sleep on. He said, come, let us be going. This betrayal is happening. And we're in the garden. And we see Judas come up and give him a kiss. And then all of those soldiers came to take him. And I was so afraid. And I wanted to prove to the Lord that I would die with him. And I took out one of the swords from the centurion and I swang it and I missed my mark. And he turned his head and I cut off his ear. And then the Lord said, he picked it down. He reached down and picked it up and put it right back on and healed one of the people that were coming to take him. And I was scared and I fled. Then the Lord was walking and they were taking him and I wanted to see what was going to happen to the Lord. So I followed for just a little while, a good ways off to see where they would take him. And they took him to Caiaphas' house. And John knew Caiaphas pretty good. So me and John went down there and we went to his house. And John went on into Caiaphas' house and I was down there. And I could hear them beating the Lord inside. And I was cold, so I warmed myself by the fire. And then there was one that said, you were with Jesus. No, not me. I wasn't with Jesus. This is a dangerous place for me to be. I wasn't with Jesus. Then another one came by and said, you're one of his disciples. No, I'm not. Then the maid came by. I'm getting a little antsy now because I'm in danger. And she said, I know you were one of him because you talk like he does. And he and I stood up and I said, I don't know the man. And I began to curse and swear. And then I looked up and in the window and the Lord was there. And he looked down at me. And it hit me so hard what he had said to me earlier. He told me that I would deny him before the cock crows. And right after that, I heard that cock crow. And the Lord obviously had been beaten already. And those eyes, so loving, so so know him. I just couldn't help it. I had to run. I ran. I fled. I wept all night. Because of my denial. I watched him be crucified. But I had been with these people for 3 years. And so we were together in the house. Then we heard a knock on the door, and Mary Magdalene came over. The Lord cast out 7 devils out of her. You know, when the Lord does something for you, you want to be around those people. So we all knew one another. And she said that he was risen. And I couldn't help it. I just had to see for myself. So me and John ran, and we raced. We ran together to the sepulcher, and he beat me. John's a better runner than me. He beat me there, but he stooped at the entrance and didn't go in, but I went right in. Because I wanted to see where my Lord was. And he wasn't there. We saw an angel tell us that he was risen. And he told us to go into Galilee and wait until we be endued with power from on high. And then after we went to Galilee and waited, we saw the Lord. He was with us there in spirit. We saw him eat a fish. He walked right through the door, and we saw him eat a fish and a little bread. And he taught us in those 50 days after he was ascended, 40 days. He taught us of the kingdom of God. And we understood it better then than what we did when he was alive. And then we saw him as he was ascended up. As he told us, he told us to preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. He told us to go into all the world and do it. Oh, and on that last day that he was with us in spirit, we saw him and he gave us some last instructions, and then we saw him ascend up into glory. And we looked up with our mouths gaped open because we had never seen that before. These things are so unbelievable in our eyes. It's like you wake up new every day. And you think, what's going to happen today that I've never seen before? And we watched him as he ascended up in a cloud. And then there were some angels there that said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? For he's going to return in like manner." And oh, how I want him to return. So I live every day waiting. He told us to wait until we were endued with power from on high. There was a lot of Jews gathered at this one place from all different kind of nations, and we saw the power, fire from heaven, fall upon all of us, and every man
heard each other speak in his own language. So that me hearing people from Italy, I could hear the Italian Jews in my own language. That's something I ain't never seen before. Then I stood up and I began to preach about how great the Lord was and how wonderful, how what a blessing He was, proving that He was the very Son of God. And God pricked them in their hearts and they came to me and asked me, says, what shall we do? And I told them to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A couple days after that, me and John were walking in the temple and we saw this man that had been lame from his youth begging at the gate beautiful. And he thought we were going to give him some money. And I looked down at him and I said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he leaping up stood, walking and praising and leaping and praising God. And he entered into the temple with us. And do you know how many people were converted by that one man's testimony? 7,000 people were converted on that day. And then we began to, John and I, we all began to preach, and the scribes and the Pharisees could not stand that we had that kind of power, and they could not stand that we would preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And so they put us into prison, and you know what happened? I was chained between two people, and at midnight there was an angel came and he smote me on the side and he told me to gird my loins about and to stand up and to follow the angel. And I did, and the shackles just fell off of me and the gate to the prison door just opened. And I walked right through and I knocked on the door and Rhoda came and said, Peter's at the door. And they were there praying for me. And they couldn't believe that God had that kind of power. And so they finally did open the door and they walked in and they all praised God. And you know what? Another time they put me in prison and they beat me. Told me I ought not to be praying, ought not to be preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could I not? How could I not? And you know what they, after they beat us, you know what happened? We got up and we thanked God that He counted us worthy to suffer for His name's sake. We thanked God. So many other things that I've seen in my life. So many other things that I would love to tell you about the Lord. I'll tell you this. At the end of my life, the Romans crucified me, but I had one request. I requested that they do it upside down, that I'm not even worthy to die in the same manner that my Lord died, and they granted my request, and they crucified me upside down. That's the gospel
according to Peter. What's the gospel according to George? What's the gospel according to Chuck? What's the gospel according to Hannah? Or Howard? Or Drew? Or anybody else? What's your gospel? The doors of this church are open for the reception of members. May the Lord bless you and keep you. It's my prayer.